Hi, and welcome to the 19th Hole Golf Show. My name is Ryan Ballingy, and it's good to have you here with us. Happy New Year to you and your family. You can contact me via Twitter. Follow me at Ryan Ballingy, RyanBallengee. You can follow Golf News Net on Twitter as well, Golf News Net. Follow Devil Ball Golf, the Yahoo Sports blog that I write for, on Twitter as well, at Devil Ball Golf, or on Facebook.com/Devil Ball Golf. Facebook.com/Golf News Net is where you can find GNN there too. And if you are so inclined, we are trying out Snapchat and Instagram. So if you're one of those crazy old millennials or whatever the hell the next generation is, if you're on that service, that's Golf News Net for both Instagram and Snapchat. So hooray. You may have noticed that we have some intro music this year. This year, figure we try and do a little less low budget production and make it sound like this might be a legitimate radio show. So we have some theme music we're going to try out each week. Just kind of thematic, what we're thinking about in terms of the world of golf, or for whatever reason, there's an inspiration. Just a few seconds to intro the show. Other than that, it's not going to change the length of the show. It's going to be about 25, 26, 27 minutes, depending on how it goes. But we'll just have a little bit of music, and maybe, hopefully, what comes out of the podcast, then once at the end, you go, oh, I see what he meant by the song. And if not, then we'll keep on trying that out. Another thing to point out for 2016, we're actually going to start our own podcast feed specifically for all Golf News Net radio shows. So that'll include this one. But Jay's Plays with Jay Flemon will be on there. Our interviews will be on there. Other shows that we air on the network that are exclusive to us, that'll be on there too. We'll let you know when that's available. That'll be available on iTunes and other podcasting services too. And you can check that out when we get that rolling. Also, GNN Plus is a great, great tool to start the year outright. We have great fantasy advice that's available in GNN Plus. We're going to post all kinds of equipment research and data that we get from club testing that we do throughout the year, which we're really going to ratchet up in 2016. And you're also going to get a totally ad-free experience, and you're going to show awesome support for our site, which we would be incredibly appreciative of. GNN Plus is available for $30 a year, $3 a month. It's on our website, golfnewsnet.com. Just go up to the navigation, check out GNN Plus. It's simple. Check out with PayPal, and you're done. If you didn't want to just try it out for 7 days, you get a 7-day free trial if you sign up for the monthly subscription, and you can pretty much back out at any time. So honestly, we would just prorate it. So it's pretty much always a free trial, so to speak, but prorated at the worst. So those are some new things, or some old things, but or some upcoming things about the year. But adding on top of that, we are actually a legitimate program now. We have sponsors. And I say this quite truthfully. In the prior 14-year history, 13-year history of the 19th Hole Golf Show, we only ever had one episode sponsored. And that was by the McAllen people. And McAllen makes great scotch, basically. And they sent us a bottle of 18 years age scotch in exchange for some kind of commercial read on the show. I think it was like a 30-second read on the show or something like that. We've never officially been paid by an advertiser on this show in cash. We still have the bottle of the McAllen 18, but had never been officially paid until this year. So we have two presenting sponsors right now. And one of them is BetDSI, BetDSI.com. You'll notice if you go to our site, if you're a fantasy geek like I am, odds kind of interest us because it gives you a sense of what the sporting community, the gambling community thinks is going to happen in a golf tournament. And that can, in some sense, inform what your picks are going to be in fantasy golf or what your actual picks are if you bet on golf. In addition, I think it gives you a good sense of what values can be in daily fantasy golf, which we talk about a whole lot as well. So BetDSI.com is going to be the presenting sponsor of this show, one of them. So check out BetDSI.com, and the odds that we post each week will be from their website BetDSI.com. And the second sponsor that is coming is Late Night Golf Balls, and this is such a fascinating concept to me. We're going to share you a video with you as we get to play them in January here in the Washington, D.C. area. But the golf balls are actually, they're not just built for playing at nighttime. What they actually have is LED sensors. They kind of cook them for about a minute at a time, and then they stay lit up for about 15 minutes. And they get cooked in this little device that you put in the cup holder of your golf cart, and it just keeps on working. And what the really cool thing about them is that the late night balls fly as far as any normal golf ball. So you can actually play them like your Bridgestones, your TaylorMades, your Titleists, what have you, whatever ball you have. But you actually get that extra light up, which I think is great if you're a golfer like me that tends to get out later in the day, especially this time of year when it kind of gets dark early and you just want to squeeze in one more hole. This is the perfect golf ball for you. So that's 5 minutes of stuff that's new, that's sponsored, and we'll figure out a way to make that all sound better over the next couple of weeks. But we've still got 25 minutes to talk this week, and I think that obviously the big tournament of the week is the Hyundai Tournament of Champions. It's the best field this tournament has enjoyed in a decade. I think that's kind of the going terminology, the media story for this week is. You've got the number one player in the world, Jordan Spieth. You've got the number two player in the world, Jason Day. You've got the number four player in the world, Bubba Watson. You've got defending champion, Patrick Reed. You've got Dustin Johnson. If Jim Furyk wasn't injured, he'd play. You got a really, really, you got Ricky Fowler. Really good field this week. 32 of the 36 eligible players are in the field at Kapalua. They're at the Plantation course. The four that did not play, the aforementioned Furyk, Rory McIlroy is not playing. He's going to start his 2016 in 2 weeks in Abu Dhabi. You've got Shane Lowry, the Irishman who won the WGC Bridgestone Invitational. He's not playing in this, and neither is Justin Rose, who qualified by winning the Zurich Classic of New Orleans in April of last year. So, still, an outstanding field to kick off the year for a tournament that, in really the last 3 or 4 years, has been languishing, and there's been a lot of talk about how to bolster the field. Do you give the field, if you get a PGA Tour win, do you get a 2-year exemption into the event? Do you let guys who are past winners keep coming back? I mean, there were a lot of things being thrown out there about how to make this tournament more interesting and get more people involved. And for the last 4 years until this year, the tournament had tried going from Friday until Monday with the hope that if finishing on a Monday as a lead-in to the college football national championship game, now the college football playoff national championship game, the hope would be that, oh, well, I'll just watch golf until that starts. And honestly, that didn't work out so well. That wasn't the brightest idea in the world. So this year it's gone back to Thursday through Sunday, and that has changed the television schedule a little bit because NBC and Golf Channel, the NBC Sports Group, wanted to have Thursday and Friday be on Golf Channel primetime 6 to 10 p.m., and then they wanted to split time between NBC and Golf Channel on Saturday and Sunday. So they're still going to do that on Saturday, 4 to 6 p.m. on NBC and 6 to 8 p.m. over on Golf Channel. I think they were kind of looking at something similar for Sunday, like something like 6 to 8 p.m. and 8 to 10 p.m. or 4 to 6 and 6 to 8 again, something like that. But because NBC has the afternoon wild card game on Sunday, the Bengals hosting the Steelers, that at 4:40 p.m., that has forced all of the Sunday coverage over to Golf Channel. Now, wherever the golf is, it doesn't matter. It's going to be really good. And I think that the big secret sauce here, believe it or not, call me crazy, but the secret sauce to getting people interested in golf is the best golfers playing. It really is simple. When the best golfers play, there is an inherent interest in seeing them play. And when there are a collection of them playing together, there is an inherent interest in seeing them compete against one another. That's why the majors do well. That's why the WGCs do fairly well. That's why the Players does well. That's why the Ryder Cup does well. All those events. That's why they do well. And that's why, not to slam other lesser tournaments, but the lesser tournaments don't do as well because you get a smaller sample of those good players, if you get them at all, that top tier, at an event. And I think for whatever reason, this new crop, this new generation of guys in their 20s and starting to approach 30, these guys have somewhat of an interest in trying out new events, trying to play different places, that they don't want to just see the same places over and over again. And the institution of the PGA Tour's version of the 1-in-4 rule, I think will be fascinating, where if you've been around for a while on the PGA Tour, you basically have to add an event that you haven't played before each subsequent year, unless you're a life member. So if you're like Tiger and Phil, it doesn't count. But if you're a guy like Spieth or Day or McIlroy or stuff like that, you got to go find an event you haven't played in a while and you go play it. I think that's going to be really good for the PGA Tour. And it is not as stringent as the play every event every 4 years rule that the LPGA Tour has, which I think is wonderful, although it may be cumbersome now that schedule is growing. and it's close to 35 events now. I mean, that's a lot. But if you look at what the PGA Tour's version of it is, I think that'll evolve maybe to 2 events every X number of years or whatever that turns out to be. But to get around the PGA Tour schedule a little bit better and to help some of these events that have been just clamoring for years to get these guys, the best players, to show up to their stop just once in a while, I think it's going to be huge. And it may be an underrated story for the PGA Tour moving forward until we start to see it in action. But I think what you do when you go, hey, wait a second, Rory McIlroy is playing this event? And you know, you can kind of fill in the blank of what it is. But once those guys start making those starts, I think it's going to be a really big deal. The question, this is a total aside, this is an optics thing, as someone who thinks about how things look as opposed to how they really are, or maybe they are how they look. But when you get this rule into place and you have someone like Jordan Spieth, who has played events that aren't necessarily high profile, you think about the John Deere Classic, he goes there year after year because they gave him a sponsor's exemption when he turned pro, and he came back because of the exemption, and he won, and he came back because he won, and they gave him the exemption this past year and won again. You know, that's not maybe as big of a deal then when he goes and plays events that he typically wouldn't. Perhaps that's the case. But I think if you have like a McIlroy or especially a Bubba Watson, whose schedule seems to be so set in stone, so entrenched every year, you almost wonder if the locality, that tournament that's going to get that extra start that year, is going to feel like it's just a pity start. And it's going to be like, oh, I don't want to be here, but go play here. Or are these guys going to give their full enthusiastic support to these events because they're only going to be there once and they're going to give the crowd a thrill and get really involved and enthused by the event? I'm very curious how that part will play out. But I think overall, that change is very good for the PGA Tour. It's very good nationwide for the PGA Tour interest. And I think, yes, it had everything to do with Tiger Woods deciding to play the Wyndham Championship this year because he got talked into it. Davis Love kind of proselytized about the place, says it's going to fit your game right now. And Woods listed and said, look, I want to try to make the FedEx Cup playoffs. I'm going to try and do it at Greensboro. I know the situation is bleak. You got to basically win to get in, but I'm going to try. And ticket sales skyrocketed for that event. Doubled, maybe tripled. I don't know what the end number was. I have to look back at it. But at least in terms of what the story being told was, anecdotally, it was enormous crowds. And I think Tim Fincham saw that right away and went, it may not happen to have that kind of effect for Tiger and Rory, or for Rory and Jordan, Jason and Ricky to show up to these events, but it could increase the number of tickets sold. And that ultimately is a good thing for the PGA Tour in terms of at tournament attendance and also on TV. People are going to watch it more. So I think that's a great idea. And kudos to Tiger for being the influence for it. I mean, obviously, he didn't advocate for it, and he's exempt from it. But I think that kudos to the PGA Tour for seeing that. So, okay, what are we going to get this week? I think you have Jordan Spieth and still being the solid number one in the world right now. Obviously had a great year last year, and I loved what he said, and it was really kind of thought-provoking to me when he was asked about how he's going to have an encore in 2016. What is he going to do to make the next year better than this past one, or this year better than the past one? And he said, well, an encore assumes that the show ended, and that was kind of a, as Dave Schlosky put it for Golf Digest, a semantic-type answer, but it was true because for him, he doesn't think, okay, year is ended, I've got to start all over and replicate it. He's viewing this, Spieth is, through a longer-term window. So he's thinking about playing golf not 1 year at a time or a month or a tournament at a time. He's thinking 5 years maybe. He didn't fill in that gap of, well, how long are you thinking of? But maybe it's 5 years, maybe it's his career, maybe it's 10 years, whatever it happens to be. But he doesn't want to be bound by this notion that, okay, the year's changed, something's got to change, or you've got to prove yourself all over again, or all of that. And he was very cognizant, as he should be, he's a pretty smart guy, that most people view sports in seasons. They view them in years, whatever that measurement is, and that's how you compare, and that's how you have the conversation. But that's not the way that Spieth wants to view his own approach to this year and view what he's trying to do. Of course, he wants to win another two majors. He would love to win four majors. Who wouldn't? But he's not going to see 2016 as a disappointment if he doesn't do those things. So he hasn't obviously laid out, well, here's what I would like to do. And I think a lot of players would shy away from that because they, so many of these days, aren't trying to pick off specific wins. They're trying to tell you that if I do the right things and I get my game in the right place, then ultimately that'll take care of itself. And I think Spieth carries that attitude forward, is if I do the right things, if I'm not tinkering with my swing, if the things I'm changing are working, if the equipment works, if me and Michael Greller get where we're at, we're in a groove, if all those things come together, then good things will happen and that's a successful year. Versus, well, if I don't win a major, I feel like I've lost a year. And I think that's a little bit of a different attitude in some sense from McIlroy, who seemed to give the indication that this year was a lost year because he didn't win a major championship. And he thought about it in calendar terms. I have four chances this year. I did not take advantage of any of them. In fact, I didn't even get to play in one of them, which was a title defense. So, therefore, this year was a dud. Let's go to 2016. So you could see a little bit of a different in mentality between those two players and how they at least outwardly say they're approaching calendar 2016. And maybe part of that is because Spieth played 3 weeks ago. I mean, he was in the 4 weeks ago, whatever it was. He was in the Hero World Challenge. He played the tournament. So he didn't have that long off. I mean, golf's offseason really isn't all that long off anyway. Even if you didn't play in the couple of silly season events that there are, you'd still have not much more than 6 weeks off. And if that's the case, is that really that much of a break? I don't know. I mean, there are some guys who take 2-3 weeks off at a time, especially earlier in the year, because they either want to try to deal with the backload of the schedule or whatever. But I understand where Spieth is coming from to say that I don't view this as the demarcation line, December 31st to January 1st. I don't view that as kind of the start and go point of the year. And I like that thinking. I think that's unique. At least I've never heard that publicly from somebody that I can think of off the top of my head. And so it made me wonder, well, why do we compare seasons? And it's because it's an easy measurement. You go, okay, well, he did this last year, did this year. A to B, same thing more or less. That should be an equal comparison. And in a lot of ways, that is inaccurate, and it kind of sells short all of the other things that influence an athlete's life. I mean, Jordan Spieth is 22. Last year, he was 21. The year before that, he was 20. What do you gain in those years? You gain some life experience. For Spieth, you get to be able to drink. You get a little bit more freedom. You have your own house. You maybe advance your relationship with your girlfriend. Maybe you're starting to think about marriage someday. Maybe you're starting to wonder if you're ever going to marry this girl or not. You get these equipment deals. You win majors. That changes how you are viewed, not just now, but forever, because you won them at 21 years old and 21 years old. And then all of a sudden, you have to deal with that. So that changes from the next season over. You're making more money than you've ever made, especially off of the course, and you're doing this at 22. Thanks Under Armour, thanks Titleist, thanks AT&T, whoever else sponsors him. You know, those things, they all influence you. You have more people demanding you on your time. You are no longer just child prodigy Jordan Spieth. You are child prodigy turned two-time major winner and four shots away from the single season Grand Slam guy Jordan Spieth. So all of those things change, too. The fans see you differently. They know who you are. They know you on site. They know you without a hat on. They know you off the golf course. They demand to know more about you. And whether you choose to embrace that or not is your own calling. But that changes. All those things change not because of calendars. They change when things happen. They change when life happens. So when Spieth looks back on his career 10 years from now, 20 years from now, is he going to think about it as periods divided up by years, or is he going to think about it as periods divided up by life events? And I think it will be by life events. And I think probably a lot of athletes think about it that way, and they maybe put out the notion that, oh, you know, it's a new season, it's a new start, blah, 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 blah. Yeah, I guess if you're kind of the journeyman type, where you're struggling to keep your card every year, you're wondering down to the wire in August whether you're going to get in the FedEx Cup playoffs or you're going to finish in the top 150 and get conditional status, or you're playing through Q School, or you're playing through the Web.com Tour Finals, then yes, I think you probably think about your career more in a linear fashion as us outside the ropes do. We think about it in terms of seasons. You did this season, you did this the next season, and so forth, because those things matter to you. Those deadlines matter to you. Pretty much forever now, those deadlines do not matter to Jordan Spieth. He's good. At least for the next 10 years, he is good on the PGA Tour. He has nothing to worry about. He's got status. He's fully exempt. He's good. And if he continues to have seasons like he's having, he will get 20 wins, and he will be exempt for life. And then he is good for as long as it takes. He's got more money than he will ever need. He's got money beyond multiple generations. Doesn't have to worry about that at all. So, he doesn't think about it that way. And I wonder if we could learn to think about it that way. Could you go, okay, well, for these years, kind of this stretch of time, he was this guy. And then when this happened, he became this guy. And then when this happened, he became this guy. Not because of the turn of the calendar. It's something different to think about. And I think when you look back on someone's career, as we start to think about Tiger Woods at 40, we start to think about his career. And for so long, we've defined it by not years, but almost by instructor. Okay, well, we had the Butch era. And then we had the Hank, Butch 2. You know, the remake of the swing. They went 97 and some of 98, and then 99 to, 2003, and then you had Hank 04 to more or less end of 2010, and then you had Foley for a few years, and then you get Como back at the end of Como in at the end of 14. And you think about it like five eras in that regard. And maybe that works. I don't know. Maybe that isn't the way to think about it. Maybe you think about it as those things count, because they are on-course changes, they're very substantive. Or do you think about adding in when he got married, when he met Elon before that, when he had children? Obviously, the personal scandal, that certainly defines some things and overlaps with the end of the Haney era and the start of the Como era. Do you think about it in terms of his injuries? I think all of those things, all of those events, kind of come into clearer focus for a fan, for someone on the outside of it, after the fact. If you're an athlete, You're trying to think about what's happening to you right now and what can you do to make the next competition, the next time you compete, into a winning opportunity. So you're so short-term focused, and you may look toward several tournaments out. You may look toward a major. You may have something circled on your calendar, make the Ryder Cup team, whatever it is, all of those things. But ultimately, I think that the athlete doesn't think about too far beyond a few months at a time. Maybe a year at a time, maybe 2 years if it's Ryder Cup. And you're looking at that, but you're still thinking day to day, ball by ball on the range. Was this better than the last one? And then over time, as you collect experience and you start to realize where you're going to go or where you've been is the best you're going to go, then you kind of get that perspective and it changes. And I think when that happens, and you can see it in a lot of golfers right now, you can see it in a guy like David Toms, or Justin Leonard, who's going to the booth, or Kristen Marco, who's walked away, David Duval, who's in the booth. When those guys reached the stretch in their career where they're like, well, golf isn't really all that important anymore, either because of injury or their family. You know, they have kids they want to be with. They won their major. They won their tournaments. They made their money. And they go, well, you know, once you have the clarity to look back, you have a really hard time looking forward. And I think that is the damning thing about Tiger Woods, is he now knows with clarity what he accomplished. Or at least he sounds like a guy who knows with clarity what he has accomplished. And that means he can't be the guy who's only looking forward. And that's when we've talked about this before in the show, when we had Michael Bamberger on last year to talk about his book, Men in Green. And the moment when Arnold Palmer thought he lost the edge when he won the Open in 60. He thought that was when he lost the edge. Maybe that is the case. Maybe it's really subjective. But for me, it sure sounds like the moment, and I think about this about myself, the moment you see with clarity what you've accomplished and start to relax, that's when you've lost it, instead of looking forward and not relaxing. And I think that is why people still feel like Phil Mickelson may have something left in the tank, because he's looking forward. And the question mark is, what is the point when someone who refuses to look back is delusional? We'll learn that this year, I think, about Phil Mickelson a little bit. Going to Andrew Jetson, walking away from Butch Harmon, looking to get a new set of eyes with some tweaks in the swing. If those pay off and Phil can continue to look forward, then maybe he is a guy who can win that U.S. Open. Maybe he's a guy who can become the oldest major champion ever in a few years. Maybe those things are still in line for him. Maybe there's still great promise ahead. Or this is it, and he's made his money, and he's good. And at some point, he'll go, well, I did it. I won 5 majors. I won 3 masters. I got 3/4 of the way to the career Grand Slam. I'm good. And then it's over. So, no wonder Spieth doesn't think about years. He's thinking about here, now, and let's go. And once you stop, it's over. So I think that's something fascinating to think about. The other just thing I want to bring up very briefly, because this is somewhat related to Jordan Spieth, because everyone knows Jordan Spieth and Justin Thomas were roommates, so we have to connect them. But Justin Thomas was doing an interview with Mark Rolfing for Golf Channel, and I think it aired on Morning Drive. Maybe it was just all over the place. I don't know. I didn't see it when it happened or when on their air. So Rolfing asked Thomas, who's, what, 23? Be 23 in the spring. And he said, if you had the opportunity to pick in 2016 and 2016 only, would you prefer to win a major championship in 2016, or would you prefer to win the Ryder Cup as a part of the American team in 2016? And Rolfing barely got the question out before Thomas said, hands down, Ryder Cup, hands down. And that left others in the studio, once they kind of replayed back, so I assume it was on Morning Drive, befuddled. How could he say that? That's unbelievable. Who would think that? This is a semantic question. The idea is, as a 22-year-old kid who could swing out of his shoes and just got his first PGA Tour win, if you could win one major this year, any of the four, or Ryder Cup, the team which he is not on right now and is ranked 33rd in points, which would you take? And I can understand why the Ryder Cup would be in the conversation, because the Americans have lost 8 of 10, so there's something to that. And on top of that, there is a renewed sense of, I think, American determinism, that they're going to figure this thing out because of what happened to the PGA of America, what happened to the 2014 Ryder Cup, the committee or whatever, the task force, all those older guys kind of projecting with their interest and involvement in some fashion in this process, and on the team moving forward with guys like Tiger and Stricker and Furyk being vice captains, that they're projecting to these younger guys, we give a crap, and we want to do this, and we want to inspire you to do it in the way that we just didn't for 25 years. And I think that has taken hold. I think that Justin Thomas is among those who've bought in. All right, well, I want to do it. I want to be the generation that takes the Ryder Cup back, and we win 8 out of 10. And that starts in 2016. It doesn't start in 2018 in Paris. It doesn't start in 2020 in Wisconsin, at Kohler, Whistling Straits. It starts now. And so 16 is really important. It's more important than winning a major this year, because it could set up everything moving forward. I want the Ryder Cup. How can you have a problem with that? I don't understand how you can have a problem with that. I think that in that sense, that's a good answer. I'm on board. Cool. Sounds good to me. Because, again, Thomas is 22. If he is going to be as good as he thinks he's going to be, and a lot of us think he's going to be, and he thought he was going to have won already by the time he won on November 1st in Malaysia, if he thinks he's going to be that good, and he turns out to be that good, as we all think he is, he's going to have a lot of opportunities to win major championships beyond the four in 2016, which you have the Masters, you got Oakmont for the Open, you've got Troon for the Open overseas, and then you've got Baltusrol for the PGA Championship. Good lineup, not a great lineup. And so, okay, well, I've got plenty more to come. I don't need it now. The Ryder Cup this year is more important for the future of the competition, next generation, and kind of scene setting for the American presence. I want that. Cool. I'm on board. Let's do it. Sounds great. Don't. We do this all the time in the media, and fans do it too. And we create these false choices with unwinnable answers, where we give these guys what we go, and some players pointed out on Twitter from time to time, and it's true. You set up a question with a guy and you go, would you rather A or B? If you choose A, I will criticize you in such a way. And if you pick B, I will criticize you in the opposite way. There is no winning answer to that. If you pick C, you go, oh, you're a coward or you're noncommittal or whatever. It's a no-win question. This is a similar no-win question. Because if you say, well, would you rather win a major this year or would you rather be on the Ryder Cup winning team this year? And you go, okay, well, I'd win a major. Oh, well, you're selfish. You're a prick. And if you pick the Ryder Cup, you go, well, you just don't care about your game enough. You're a loser. You're always going to be a loser. Well, why can't the guy just have an opinion and that be it? And go, okay, sounds good. And we can have this conversation like we are here, an honest conversation that really doesn't have a bias. I don't really care what his answer is. Ultimately, in the long term, I mean, I get where he's coming from, and that's good enough for me. And I think that should be good enough for most people. And when we create these false choices with the implication behind them of what's going to come, depending on your answer, then we're shooting ourselves in the foot and as media and creating a relationship with players and others in the sport where they go, well, why would I even bother to answer the question or have the conversation with you if I know what the outcome is going to be before I even open my mouth? And so I hope that we saw that for what it is, and you see it for what it is, and you go, okay, fine, it's cool, let's move on. So hopefully a great week this week at Kapalua. We've also got the South African Open Championship in South Africa, hosted by Ernie Els, and which, by the way, Els says McIlroy will play in the 2017 edition of that event, which would be pretty cool, too, for the South African Open, the second oldest Open Championship, national championship in the world behind the Open Championship. So good week for the European Tour as well, co-sanctioned event, I think the 250th ever between the European Tour and another body. So that's pretty cool. And as the weeks unfold, we've got Honolulu next week for the Sony Open in Hawaii, and in a couple weeks, and we start the Middle East swing, and before you know it, it's going to be Masters time. So I'm really excited to start the season again with you, start the year again with you. Please give us a 5-star review. Give us your comments and questions either on our iTunes page if you listen that way, or if you just feel more comfortable, shoot me an email, ryan@thegolfnewsnet.com. Shoot me a tweet at Ryan Ballingy as well. Until next week, when we dig into what we see at Kapalua this weekend, I'm Ryan Ballingy saying thanks so much for listening, and we'll see you next time on the 19th Hole Golf Show.